Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 9th, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Well, Dave Dickey will be along in just a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including another footnote in the continuing mad cow saga in the United States. Oh, and we'll talk with Drew Lerner, of course, of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, we'll hear how U of I Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good says farmers can take advantage of the looming ethanol boom. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Now, before we get started for the afternoon, a couple quick notes. Next Tuesday, we plan to come to you live from the Illinois State Fair. Come visit us in Campus Town on the fairgrounds, otherwise known as the Twilight Ballroom. That's situated between the Expo Building and the Coliseum. And make sure you put this one on your must-do schedule. Thursday, August the 17th, that's the 50th Agronomy Day, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The morning kicks off at 7 o'clock. I'll be dispatching wagons into the research plots. It's absolutely free, and it will take most of the morning to see all those plots. There is a noon hour lunch. You can buy that for a nominal fee. And a keynote then from Eldon Gould, Northern Illinois farmer and administrator of the USDA RMA Risk Management Agency. Just think crop insurance. Come see us on the South Farms right here in Urbana at 7 a.m. Thursday morning, August the 17th. It's just a week and a day away. Taking a look now at the numbers on this Wednesday afternoon from the Chicago Board of Trade. September wheat, soft red, settled at 388, up 4 for the day. December at 409 and a quarter, up 4. Kansas City, September hard red wheat at 471 and a half, up a penny and three quarters on this Wednesday. September corn futures, 239 and three quarters, up 4 cents. March futures at 270 and a half, up 3 3/4 for the day. And the December contract at 256 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. December corn for next year, 304 and a quarter and 07, up 3 cents for the day. August soybean futures, 562, 4 1/2 cents higher. September's up 4 cents at 566 and a half. And the November beans, $5.80 a bushel. Settlement price there up 3 3/4 cents. November 2007 contract settled at 637 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. Bean meal futures August contract at 158.60. They were up 70 for the day. August bean oil futures in the products at 26.35, up 31. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle, they were a nickel lower at $116.75 a hundredweight. August live cattle at $86.30 even, were up 95 cents for the day. And the October live cattle at $90.45 were up 52.5 cents. August lean hogs at $70.75. They were down 67.5 on the day. Crude oil futures, 76.35 in the nearby September contract, up 4 cents higher. The CRB at 353.71, up 2.98. And the Dow now at 11,102, and it's down right at 71 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Todd, I don't know. It's Ukraine, Russia, Springfield, Champaign, Terre Haute. I think you're having too much fun.
You know, my job is a vacation. That's what I like to say. And an adventure sometimes. Oh, and you forgot one. We're going to the Farm Progress Show in Amana Colonies, Iowa at the end of the month, too. So,
wow, you are on the road.
Yeah, we're on the road a lot, actually. That last one is a new pickup, and when I'm back on the road, the first few years of my career here at WILL, I was always gone on my wedding anniversary, and while I haven't informed my wife that yet, she thinks I'm leaving on Monday, and I probably will be heading out on Sunday, so I may have to do something extra special.
You have on that the University of Illinois golf cart yet? Or
No. You think we could get one of those?
You need to get one.
Oh, I'd love to have an orange and blue golf cart to cruise around in Amana. That would be fun over in ISU territory, I suppose. They like their red and yellow.
The athletic department will probably give you one here in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe I could get Coach Zuck and Coach Weber to come along with us. That would be fun, too.
Great.
Okay, let's talk about a different kind of marketplace, Chicago, for the afternoon. I heard you talking with Dave this morning about the contract lows that were made in the bean pit. I took a quick look at that chart, and it's really starting to look fairly sad. Is there a reason for this to come back anytime soon?
Well, you know, if we stretch our imagination a little bit here, it is extremely dry in the Delta, and in parts of Illinois, we had a good WILL listener from Chobanier and Patoka call up and say, hey, send the rain our way, and of course, there's when it's all said and done, one meteorologist told me he thinks that 35% to 40% of Iowa, 20% of Illinois, 40% of Indiana, and 40% of Ohio won't get much rain between now and August the 20th. You know, we did luck out here in Oakland, got 0.6 inches of rain. The bean pod counts look enormous, but as a general rule, we do see pretty good demand by China buying soybeans in the marketplace. Beans are cheap. And we do know that the South American producer continues to hold on. Less acreage projected in South America next year. So we have a pretty big carryover, a lot of loan beans coming to the marketplace. And, hey, we did rally, and soybean oil also put in a nice performance today in that magic soybean complex.
Let's talk about this just a bit, because it's quite likely, I suppose, that producers, if they're looking at storing corn or storing soybeans, will store corn on the idea that the ethanol boom, the beginning next spring and into the fall, will actually yield them a better price. But in that wake, if corn futures need to go higher, and apparently they do as you take a look at the DEIS-07 contract still up above $3, bean futures may need to go higher as well to entice South American farmers to plant more soybeans, which means those producers that sell beans over the scale this fall may have an opportunity. How do they go about replacing those, or should they?
Number one, I also think that the U.S. farmer is going to be a very strong holder of soybeans. He has been for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's becoming a tradition. We understand that, the soy diesel is, biodiesel is a major important part of the bullish equation. But really, we are able to produce beans in the U.S. Very competitively with and sell them to the Chinese and other people in the world. And I think that that's the advantage. And the South American producer is raising beans at a financial loss. So that gives us an advantage. They owe at least 2 years of fertilizer bills. There's nothing in South America to indicate the Brazilian government's going to bail out the farmer down there. So there is some big economic issues. And therefore, we think the U.S. farmer is going to, prosper once we get through these, harvest and also this loan redemption in the marketplace. So they could go down some, but they are very cheap, and we are looking at possibly some better times in soybeans a year from now as well.
Well, maybe I'm just thinking about this in the wrong way, and you can correct me, but it seems to me that there won't be enough storage for both all the corn and the soybeans, at least on the farm.
Oh, I think so, Todd. I think we still have a couple things here. We have a transfer station system that's going to function during harvest. The odds of having a major hurricane and a transportation bottleneck, our exports are going to be better than a year ago. We know that the farmer is building a lot of grain storage. We know major grain companies are building more storage. We know there's more ethanol plants, and at those ethanol plants, they have rail cars, they have grain storage, and the usage is going to be excellent. So we do have a smaller production estimate than a year ago as far as corn is concerned, and I think that when it's all said and done, I think we're going to get the crop put away. And I know there's a big debate out there about that, but the grain industry is probably We can't say that somebody in China is doing a better job in the grain industry than U.S. We can't say the Europeans are doing anything better in the grain industry than the U.S. And we know the South Americans, the best technology and business-minded people are right here in the USA.
Well, let's say that you're correct.
Okay.
And you like that, don't you?
Yeah, I like to win once. I never get to win very much.
Yeah, I know better, Paul. Okay, so you're correct. And we're down here with Dee's contract at 256. The nearby SEPs are at 239. And say that's low enough and that we're able to control the flow of corn and beans into the system that it feeds in on a pretty steady basis, and it's available all the time because we have enough in the pipeline, and given the size of the crop and that the storage is there, can we expect these price levels at the low end to hold at this point then?
Well, you know, just for example, the carryover this year, at the end of this year, Informa indicates 1,976,000,000 bushels. The USDA on their last one's 2,062,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
A year from now, the USDA is probably going to be looking at, based on 149 bushel average crop, at 1,077,000,000 bushels. So we're really basically jump-starting demand, and we're seeing that in four different ways. The big carry in the market. We're seeing exports, we're seeing feed usage good, and we're also seeing the magic of ethanol. Mitch Dawson called me from Kansas City at a big ethanol conference out there. There's new builders coming on into the industry. It's an exciting convention out there, and it's happy days. And, you know, front page of the Wall Street Journal, you know, exciting news about ethanol. So it is a good time and more demand, and that's the reason why we're really going to have to bid up flat prices on corn to get more corn acres, because we do have some very competitively priced wheat and soybeans, and it's all going to be on a bid basis, and it's going to take better prices to get more corn acres, because it is rather expensive to produce a bushel of corn.
Well, let's hope you win this one, Paul.
Well, I hope I've won twice to date, Todd, and I've got. But you usually win two or three in a row.
Yeah, all right, thanks much, Paul. We
appreciate it. Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report every Wednesday afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Ed Kieser's forecast for the two-state region is simple. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, lows from 62 in northeastern Indiana to 74 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms again. Highs tomorrow from 82 in the north to 94 in southern Illinois. We'll take a look at the ag weather at the bottom of the hour with Drew Lerner. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA says South Korea has agreed to send a new delegation of auditors to the U.S. as early as next week to review beef processing plants that South Korea say have problems. Among them, failure to segregate U.S. and Canadian cattle and failure to use separate equipment to cut up younger and older cattle. South Korea wants to import U.S. beef only from cattle under 30 months of age, and it wants dedicated tools for slaughter of younger animals. Another dispute centers on a U.S. request that South Korea agree to tolerance levels for specified risk materials. No agreement has been reached. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says it's time for lawmakers to stop playing politics with the repeal of the estate tax. Last week, the Senate fell three votes short of ending debate and bringing the issue to the floor for a vote. Grassley says Democratic leadership must let senators vote their conscience on the measure. Grassley also has an idea or two to deal with BP shutting down an oil field in Alaska that represents 8% of U.S. production.
what the government can do is release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to keep our refineries operating to capacity. The real bottleneck is our refineries, not necessarily the barrels that won't come from Alaska. And so if we can do anything to keep our refineries operating to capacity, I don't think the price will go up.
If that does not happen, Grassley says producers could be paying another 10 cents per gallon for diesel fuel. USDA Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Ag Services J.B. Penn is leaving his post to return to the private sector. Penn will head the new office of Chief Economist for Deere and Company. Penn has served at USDA the past 5 years, including work in the now-stalled Doha round of World Trade Talks. In other Doha news, U.S. Chief Ag Negotiator Dick Crowder believes there will be a world free trade deal. The statement is one of the most optimistic from a public official since a round was indefinitely postponed last month. A critical shortage of long-haul heavy-duty truck drivers is threatening the growing ethanol industry. Statistics show the industry is experiencing a shortage of nearly 20,000 truck drivers. A study shows that if the current trend continues, the shortage will grow to about 111,000 long-haul heavy-duty truckers by 2014. The issue could create bottlenecks in getting ethanol to market. U.S. beef is for sale in Japan in three Tokyo area stores. Inspectors yesterday cleared a 5.1-ton shipment of beef from Cargill. It's the first sale since prohibited spine bones were found in an import shipment of veal in January. Before then, the border was closed 2 years for mad cow concerns. USDA Ag Secretary Mike Johanns says much of the nation's corn and soybean crops are not affected by drought conditions hitting a wide swath of the nation. Johanns says he plans to tour drought-affected areas in the next 2 weeks. In Texas, thousands of cotton acres have been abandoned. Sean Wade is Director of Communications for Plains Cotton Growers.
It's one of those years that we do get periodically, and it's shaping up to be one of the tougher ones as far as just total acres goes on the dryland side. Through August the 1st, looking at some of the data from the Farm Service Agency and how producers had failed acres out through that agency shows that we've lost about 970,000 acres of cotton on the high plains, and obviously probably 95% or better of that is going to be dryland cotton. We just haven't had the storms and the associated hail events that would have taken out much on the irrigated side this year.
Johanns says projected corn and soybean yields across the nation appear on par with last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website where you can get the latest information on the Ag Outlook panels that we've scheduled across the two-state region. They pick up in earnest next week. Lots of them all over the region. You'll find one, I'm sure, very close to you at willag.org. Well, up next, there's an old rule of thumb that says, be the first in and the first out of a new business. That's the guy who makes the most money. Corn farmers, as you'll hear in the United States, are now facing this decision on a broad scale. Ethanol made from corn is pushing prices paid to farmers higher. The question is, how do they take advantage of this new marketplace and make it more profitable at the same time? One way, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good, though it may be risky, is to be one of the first to plant a lot more corn acres.
It appears that way. I mean, if you're talking near future, 2-3 years, I mean, one way to judge that is just to look at the futures market and say, what is the futures market saying for 07, 08 crops? It does suggest, even with escalating costs of production of corn relative to soybeans, that those prices would show more profitability for corn per acre than soybeans. So, yes, if you can do that at a reasonable cost, the market is saying That's probably the more profitable way to go the next 2 or 3 years.
Of course, just planting more corn acres will not ensure windfall profit. There's some marketing to do as well. The 07 and 08 corn contracts in Chicago have traded above $3 a bushel for the December. The question is, will that be enough given the increased cost of energy inputs, fertilizer and fuel, and the rising interest rates?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, how fast are the cost of production going to increase over the next 2 years? And equally important is what kind of supply concerns will we have with the 07 and 08 growing season? I mean, we've had a bit of a problem in 05 regionally. 06 is a little bit dry regionally. On the surface, $3 corn looks pretty attractive. But if we have a significant weather problem in either 07 or 08, then you say, well, $3 didn't look quite so attractive. So it's not a slam dunk in my mind in saying, yeah, some people are saying, hey, this is a no-brainer. How often do you get a chance to sell $3 corn? So I guess my thinking is that we kind of do that in modestly. I would be a little reluctant to be real aggressive at doing that. Or I would be thinking about strategies that would help me manage that risk of weather problems come 07 and 08.
Either way, it is a bet that corn farmers in the United States will face starting this fall. That's when they'll begin making decisions about what and how much of each crop they'll plant for the 2007 growing season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
We're joined on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
And good afternoon to you, Todd.
Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
So let's jump right into it as you take a look at the numbers. And I know you haven't seen them for a couple of weeks. They probably surprised you a bit when you first walked in the door, and then things started to drop earlier in the week. Tell me about, in your area, the cash grain situation.
The farmers have stopped selling at this point. There's still a lot of old crop left out there. Our two arrives have slowed down. Most contracts have been filled, so they're either scratching their head trying to decide whether to just go ahead and take the spot price, sell it, and get it over with. But believe it or not, just since I came back today, I've talked to two farmers who are building more space, and a lot of it is just to hang on to what old crop they've got. So there's all kinds of different strategies out there. You know, you got a 50-cent carry probably out to a May corn price. So this is going to be a different kind of year, and there's still a lot out there to sell. So who knows what their strategy is going to be next.
It'll be interesting to see if it all gets put away, I suppose.
Space is going to be a problem, there's no doubt. And, of course, they're building space because space has been at a premium. I mean, it's paid to have bin space, and DP charges are going to be absolutely probably outrageous this year because of the carry in the market. So there's going to be a lot of different strategies they're going to have to look at, because it's merchandising next year's crop is going to be totally different.
Indeed it is. Speaking of merchandising crop, what are your bids for the day?
All right, our bids today, cash corn is $2.15, cash beans $5.42, and wheat is $3.15.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons. By the way, we'll be in Terre Haute on the evening of Tuesday, August the 22nd. If you're in that area, give Kay a call and watch our website for complete details and Ag Outlook panel in Terre Haute at Terre Haute Grain on Tuesday, August the 22nd. Time now to take a look at your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Rod Blagojevich says he isn't going to wait for the Food and Drug Administration's blessing to make emergency contraception easier to get in Illinois. In a letter sent to the FDA, Blagojevich urges regulators to approve over-the-counter sales of the morning-after pill. But if the FDA fails to act, he pledges to introduce legislation this fall that would allow Illinois pharmacies to dispense it without a prescription. 9 states already allow women to get Plan B without a doctor's prescription. Officials with the United Auto Workers Union say they're in talks with Mitsubishi Motors, which is seeking to gain concessions from workers at its plant in Normal. UAW leaders declined to discuss specifics of those talks. Mitsubishi is struggling due to three straight years of losses that mounted as sales fell due to recall scandals in Japan. Mitsubishi eliminated the second shift at its plant in Normal in 2004, trimming about 1,200 jobs. The 150th Indiana State Fair opened today in Indianapolis. It's been held every year since 1852, except for breaks during the Civil War and World War II. The Beatles performed at the Indiana State Fair in 1964. This year's live entertainment runs the gamut from Pat Boone to Kid Rock. The city attorney of Paris, Illinois, has been named the newest judge in Edgar County. The Illinois Supreme Court named Stephen Garst to the Fifth Circuit bench today. Garst was a public defender for four terms before becoming a city attorney. He replaces Judge H. Dean Andrews, who retired. The term lasts until 2008, when Garst will be able to run for election to a full six-year term. A McLean County judge says his 10 months of military duty in Iraq included an encounter with Saddam Hussein while researching the deposed Iraqi dictator's hunger strike. Associate Judge Robert Freitag says the encounter came as he did legal work in Iraq as an Army Reserve major, and that Hussein was more low-key in private than in the courtroom. Indiana school officials have released new rankings of public schools, and only one district placed in the lowest of five tiers. The Gary Community Schools Corporation was given academic probation. Another 139 are on the next lowest level, Academic Watch. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. Usually on Wednesday afternoons, Drew Lerner joins us. He's out this afternoon. We do have Ed Kieser's forecast for the two-state region. It looks like this. Ed says tonight across the two states, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 62 in northeastern Indiana to 74 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs ranging from 82 in the north to 94 in the southern part of Illinois. And tomorrow, wind speeds at 4 to 10 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities will range between 50 and 60%. The extended forecast highlights across Illinois and Indiana a few lingering showers, some thunderstorms possible in southern portions of the two-state region on Friday. Dry weather expected over the weekend, and Ed says scattered showers and thunderstorms may return early next week. Temperatures during the next 7 days, he says, should run near average to slightly above average. That, of course, Ed Kieser's weather forecast. Drew Lerner not available this afternoon. Not entirely his fault. Drew and I have an agreement that I usually try to call him on Wednesday mornings to talk to him a bit about the weather forecast and possibly pre-record him. I didn't do that, so not entirely Drew's fault. I'll take part of the blame for him not being here this afternoon. Taking a look at some of the other things in the world of agriculture, don't forget that on this Friday morning, USDA will release its first crop production estimate. In corn, the range now of estimates from the trade from 10.38 billion to 11.1 billion bushels. That puts the average guess at 10.7. Last year, we raised an 11.112 billion bushel corn crop. Soybeans, the trade range guesses at 2.9 to 3.1. 3.02 is the average guess. Last year, we raised 3.086. And in July, USDA said that there would be 3.01 billion bushels of soybeans around once we got to harvest. Corn yield expected at 149 bushels to the acre back in July and at 40.7 bushels the acre for soybeans in July from USDA as well. Those numbers are due out at 7:30 a.m. this Friday morning. They'll be up on our website post-haste after that. And if you're signed up for our weekend newsletter, it'll arrive shortly after 7:30 as well. And we'll put those in your hands on your computer as soon as you check your email that morning. So if you have the opportunity, visit WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. for the most up-to-date information on the USDA crop production estimates on Friday morning. And by the way, you can find out when our next set of ag panels will be in your area. We pick those up starting next week on August the 16th. For Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. wishing you the best of afternoons.